So I know you heard last week the same time I did that I was going to be preaching about honor today. This is actually a message that I had shared with the, it's called the Healthy Leader Network. It's a day with the leaders and pastors in our region and a couple weeks ago. And we just felt it was important to share here. And my dad said 30 minutes. I said 40 minutes and we'll probably settle for 45 because that's just how it goes. I had an hour there, so I've been trying to shrink it. But so this morning I want to talk about honor and what that means. I think all of us have a pretty general idea of what honor is. And I feel, though, that the Lord wants us to really make it a core value, a place of foundation in our lives and in our church. And so here's what Baker's Evangelical Dictionary says about honor. To honor someone is to give weight or to grant a person a position of respect and even authority in one's life. A person grants honor most frequently on the basis of position, status, or wealth, but it can and should also be granted on the basis of character. All right, so I think we're pretty familiar with that. That just, you know, granting someone respect, giving someone the honor that they're due for the position or for who they are in our life. And we see in the Bible many times there's a foundation of honor all through Scripture that should be a part of our lives. And so honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. All right. So it makes the top 10. It makes the big 10, the 10 commandments. All right. Honor your parents. All right. And it comes with a promise, right? It comes with a promise that you'll live a long life. Okay, keep going. Psalm 22, and there's several actually scriptures that talk about honoring the Lord. But praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. We are called to honor God. Amen? With how we live, with how we act, with what we do. Romans 12:10 says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I like the way the ESV version says, outdo one another in showing honor. So, you know, we are called to honor one another. And it's not just a suggestion, it's do it. You know, make it a part of your life. 1 Timothy 5 says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. There's a pattern of just honor those in your life, honor those who are pouring into you, honor those, your boss, honor your teacher, honor those people around you, honor them, your family members, honor them. And so Craig Groeschel, I don't know if you've heard of him, he's a pretty famous guy that talks about leadership a lot, but he also talks about honor, and this is a quote, I think it's up there. Living with honor reminds us of who we are, who we really are, who God is, and how much he loves those around us. When we place our selfish egos on the altar of honor, we become aware of the value that God places on each and every life, including our own. And I love that quote, and I know many of you know, in January, I took my family down to Disneyland, and on the way, we went through Reading and stayed at Bethel for a weekend, some of the leaders there are just heroes in the faith to me because of what they're doing and what they're accomplishing in the kingdom. And what I love about what they've done is they've often talked about how they've made a culture of honor a main priority in their church and in everything that they do. And as a result, they often talk about how that's paved the way for an atmosphere of signs, wonders, and miracles. They say that paves the way for healing. That paves the way for salvation. And so the way we treat each other has an effect. Amen? And so I actually read one of their lead pastors, Danny Silk. I read one of his books, and it's called Culture of Honor. If you've never read it, it's a great book. I encourage you to read it. But he talks about how, he says this, the principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. I'll say that again because I think this is really good. Accurately acknowledging who people are will position us to give them what they deserve and to receive the gift of who they are in our lives. So Danny Silk actually goes on to talk about how biblical honor is calling out the identity and the gold, if you will, that God has put in people and acknowledging that. So it's not just a respect thing, but it's actually calling out and say, I see what God has put in you. And I honor you because of what he is doing in you and who he's made you to be. Does that make sense? And so it's this calling out of the identity, of the goodness, of the gold that God has put in each other. And when we do that, we not only encourage and strengthen the person in front of us that we do that to, but it puts us in the place to receive what God is doing in them. So I hope that makes sense. So honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. And so Danny Silk goes on to say the key is accurately acknowledging who people are. We can only do this when we recognize that God has given each of us identity, different identities and roles. And this is what we see in the statement of Jesus when he says, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives the prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward." There is actually a reward when we honor people in our lives, when we live a lifestyle of honor. And so honor brings comfort for people to be themselves. When there's an atmosphere or a culture of honor in our life, in our home, it enables our kids to be free. And when there's an atmosphere of honor in your workplace, it allows people to speak up, to say, "This is what I think," or "Here's an idea I have." If people aren't afraid of what you might do to them or what you might say to them if you actually speak your mind, then people will step out. And it creates a safe place. Honor encourages creativity. Calling out the gifts and identity and anointing that we see God putting in other people encourages them to actually step out into their gifts, to be more fruitful. Honor creates safety. Honor protects love. Honor guards relationship and intimacy. Honor allows for people who are different than me or different than us to thrive instead of living out of fear of being controlled. And that's a big one. Many times when we feel intimidated by someone else, our response is usually out of fear, right? And when we respond to people out of fear, it's usually, "I want to control you. I'm not comfortable with whatever area of your life it might be. I'm not comfortable with that. So I'm going to try and control you by what I say and how I act so that you will act in a way that's comforting to me and where I'm at." Does that make sense? Everybody ever done that? Okay. If we are afraid of someone, if we're intimidated by someone, it comes from a lack of identity in here, right? Of us knowing who God made us to be. But when we respond out of fear, it actually shuts other people down because we try to control. It's just natural human instinct. So when we honor people, they're okay to be different than us. They're even okay to have a different different viewpoint than us about different things. And we can get along and actually strengthen one another. It actually welcomes community. Honor actually enables confrontation. Whether we like it or not, we need confrontation in our relationships, because confrontation helps us to get stronger and to grow further. If I don't honor you, you will never confront me. And if you don't honor me, you'll never confront me. We'll never be at the place where we feel comfortable to actually have a talk about something. Instead, you'll think, and I'll just ignore that until it becomes this huge issue that I just can't stand being around you, or I don't want to work with you, or you know where that goes, right? So honor, if I honor someone, I actually will go to them and be able to have that talk. And if we can honor one another, we'll be able to walk through it. So honor provides a platform as well for restoration and for sin to be dealt with in a healthy way. And I think that, this is an area too where I feel that in the past, the church as a whole, sometimes we've really dropped the ball. Because when someone has, you know, God's heart has always been to restore and to draw us back to him. And many times we've come with, when someone falls in our, you know, in a church or as a leader out there somewhere, we see them and they say, "Oh, they made a huge mistake." And our response is, "Let's take a stick, let's give them the boot, and let's punish them," right? And instead of honoring people and saying, "You know, I see that you've done this, but I see this is who you really are. This is what I see God is putting you to do, and I want to help you get to here where God has called you to be. I'm going to walk with you through this mess." There's a very big difference there, isn't there? Then you sinned, you said this, you shouldn't have, and I don't ever want anything to do with you. You're not good enough to be here. Go away. And so honor provides a platform for a healthy family, for a healthy lifestyle, for a healthy church, for a healthy community. Does that make sense? So honor is calling out and recognizing the identity and the gifts that God has placed in someone. All right, it's not just respecting, but it's calling out and acknowledging that, saying, "I see this in you, and I honor you, and I respect, and I'm thankful for what God has put in you, for who God has made you to be." And so that allows us to have that relationship, that platform which we build everything else on in our relationships, in our community, in our church. A culture of honor allows people to be comfortable in their own skin And they don't have to strive to be something they're not, because, and as a result, the gifts flow freely, creativity is released, and heaven is brought to earth as we live like Jesus lived. And that's where we see that release of his goodness, signs, wonders, miracles, lives transformed, and an openness for the gospel to go forth. And so, if you will, this morning I want to use the illustration of church being like a family. And it honor fits so well in the family picture. Sometimes we get caught up in thinking church is a business, and that people want to belong to a family much more than they ever want to belong to a business. And when I moved to Carmen years ago, it was my first time living alone, if you will, because even when I went to university, I was in a res with a bunch of people all the time. I had community around me. I moved to Carmen, and I rented this house. It was a big house that I basically was house-sitting for this family, and I was alone, and it was weird. And we've all been there, you know, that first kick at the can at, like, okay, no one's here to talk to you all of a sudden, or no one's across the hall that I can go hang out with. And so it was very strange. And I remember this family down the road from our church invited me over to their place for supper one night. And I was like, yes. And, you know, because I hated cooking, still do. And so I went over there, and one thing that Carmen was famous for was a lot of Mennonites and Mennonite cooking, and it was awesome. And so anyway, this family invited me over, and what all of a sudden became a one-time invitation started being a weekly thing to a month or two later. Her name was Brenda. She just said to me, you know, Paul, you're invited here every day for supper. It's an open invitation. You just come. I don't see why you should have to cook, you know, supper. She said, do what you want to do. And she said, all I ask is that if you can't be here, just let me know ahead of time. So I said, okay. And so then 3 or 4 months goes by, and Brenda and her husband's name was Gerald, they came to me and said, Paul, why don't you just move in with us? And they said, we'll help you save money, and you can be, you know. And so they actually became like a second family to me. And it was amazing. I actually moved in with them. They had one of their kids was in youth, a very popular kid who always had 4 or 5 friends over all the time. And so I'll just describe this. You know my family here. You know what I grew up with quite well, you know. One sister, you know, my parents, and yes, we had a lot of people in our home, but this was a whole different scenario, all right? Brenda had come from a different marriage, so there was kids from 2 different marriages. She looked after kids she did respite, I think it's called, for kids with autism and different needs, and so she looked after a lot of families. She just loved to help and pour into these kids. So there was always that group of people there. Then they had 3 teenagers at the time, well, one of them was our age, and they always had friends over. Just the house was a zoo all the time. And so I went from having, you know, a pretty, what I would call normal house where you had people over once or twice a week and whatever, but this went to every day there was people in the house. And so I began to belong to this family. I felt like I belonged. And when you belong to a family, you do your role. You do where you feel you need to, you know, what you need to accomplish. So Brenda, my thing was, at supper time, I would expand the table, add that extra leaf, go find chairs, because it was very rare that there wasn't like 3 to 5, 6 extra people there for supper. And so that was just my thing. And, you know, there was teenagers in the house, and I could have said to them, well, you guys do that, you know. I got better skills than that. I could barbecue, or I could whatever, you know. But because I felt I belonged to that family, I did what needed done. I rolled up my sleeves and I jumped in. And I was very different than lots of the other people in that house. But yet, because we're a family, we all fit. We had one goal, and that was to meet together, to love on one another, to have fellowship together, to eat together, and enjoy one another. And when we're a family, that works. So in a family, there's room for everyone. Does that make sense? And in a family, everyone belongs. And so when I honor other people in my family, even though they might be completely different from me, come from completely different backgrounds, we can make things work. In that house, sometimes there was kids that acted out. In my own house, I have kids sometimes that act out. But you know, I expect that, and I'm okay with that. I also expect that my kids don't know that they need to take the plates from the table and go put them in the dishwasher or the sink until I teach them to. And so I know that they're going to have meltdowns sometimes because they get overtired or whatever. And I know that as a parent, there's going to be times I need to instruct them and say, hey, this is how you need to get some rest, or you need to go have a nap or whatever it might be. We've all been there, right? But that's how family works. And in a church, we're all at a different place spiritually. We've all come from many different backgrounds in this room. We all have very different stories. But if we honor one another, we're a family. We can become a family where everyone fits and everyone belongs. And we can actually encourage one another. And some may over here be really strong and some may be weak over here. But that's okay as long as we're growing. Amen? My kids can make mistakes and I can make mistakes as long as I understand that in my family I have a role to play. I want to honor them and I get up and I keep going. And I'm going to help them grow. Is that okay? In a family, it's not about comparison. It's not about competition. It's not about all of that other stuff because we're family. We just fit together. We do life together. We have the goal of let's be together. I think that our church has grown over the years many times because of a family atmosphere. And but I do think that it's a strength, but we need to keep going after it. We need to focus on it more. I believe that, honestly, in this world today, a healthy family is one of the most attractive things there is. I believe there are so many people that have never experienced that and so badly crave for that. And if we can be that healthy family where people honor one another, where people love one another, where we make room for differences and we encourage one another, where we can have confrontation in a healthy way, where we can, where we can bring restoration instead of punishment in that kind of sense, that people will run to a place like that. People desire that. People, they yearn for that kind of connection, that kind of place. And we all, I think, we know that only will come from loving God and loving the people around us. But honor needs to be a foundation. Where I call out what I see in you. Even though I might not like all the things that you do sometimes, I can still acknowledge this is what I see God doing in you. And I see that this strength and this gifting and all that he's calling you to be. And I want to walk with you. Family is not about being alone. I think in our culture today, we worship individualism, which is scary. And it's in that place of individualism, whether it's your gifts or what success you've achieved, it's in that place where I don't dare acknowledge what someone else might have or what they're doing because that makes them higher than me. And so individualism is a dangerous thing, but in family, that doesn't exist, does it? Also in family, we own everything together. It's not about, if it's about me as an individual and you come and tell me that I'm doing youth all wrong and I'm doing Sunday school or I'm doing whatever ministry I'm attached to, I'm going to get offended, aren't I? That's my ministry. That's how I do it. That's my spot. That's, how it is. And instead of being able to actually grow together, I'm going to get offended and walk away, and it creates division. I can't take any kind of even helpful criticism or helpful suggestions or any kind of change at all because it's mine. I own it. It's my little kingdom. It's not God's. But when we're a family, everything we do here is for the purpose of glorifying God. And if someone else comes in with an idea, I'll be open to that because we have the same goal. And I'll honor them. Even though I don't have to 100% always agree with them, I'll honor them. Because maybe God's put something in them that I don't have. And they can bring ways of reaching those same youth or those same kids or whatever it might be, those same adults, in a way that I couldn't do it. But if I'm intimidated, if I act in fear, I will never honor them and I will never see what God has put in them to bring to the table. One thing I love about family too is personal responsibility is owned by those in the family. So if I forget to take out the garbage and that's my job, and my wife says to me, Paul, you forgot to take out the garbage, I have to own that and say, yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. I'll do it. And I deal with it. When it's not family, it's, I'm not called to do that. That's not my gifting. That's not my strength. Have you ever been there? Oh, that person that volunteers all the time over in that seat over there, they'll take care of that. I see that need. That should be the greeter doing that. That should be, the pastor should be doing that, right? When we're part of a family, we roll up our sleeves and we dive in. And it's not about, oh, it's that person's call. It's that's not my strength. I should never have to do that. Or that's not who I am. Well, yeah, it is, because you're a child of the King and you belong. So the natural progression of a family is that I have kids and I raise those kids to be able to be healthy people who make good decisions, who in turn can make their own kids, who raise people to make healthy, good decisions, who love God, who pursue Him and instill that into their children. And it keeps going, doesn't it? Well, it's the same with our church. We need to grow people that will love God, who will make healthy decisions, who will make disciples, who will continue to grow others into the kingdom. Families are made up of very different personalities and also different gifts. And I just feel that's so important. I think right now for our church, we need to hear this, that we need the gifts of the Spirit to be active in us and through us. And we've talked or heard a lot of people talk over the years about things like the fivefold ministry and label it what you want, call it what you want. I know people have sometimes twisted or manipulated what some of those things mean or say. At the end of the day, God put those in the Bible because they're important. We need them. We need apostles. We need prophets. We need teachers. We need preachers. And we need evangelists. We need them all. And we need them all to be active. And they have their place. We need people who are focused on heaven as their gifting. We need people who are focused on teaching. We need people who are focused on reaching out. We need it all. And if you only have one active, you're going to be weak. You're only as good, how's that saying go? You're only as good as your weakest link or your, anyway. I don't know how far to go with that, but I want to say we need to go after him. The last few weeks, we've had that team that was here last Saturday. We had Donna Jordan here. We had several people coming and teaching about the prophetic and just hearing God's voice. Guess what? We're all called to hear God's voice. All of us. If you're a Christian, you're able to hear his voice. That's a promise in the Bible. And so it starts with that. It really does. But your gifting is going to be different than someone else's. What God has put in you is different than somebody else. But you have what only you have that no one else has. So bring it. Bring it to the table. What's in your hand? So it's in that honor, it's in an atmosphere of honor that we actually feel safe to bring our gifts, to use our gifts. As an example, okay, a few weeks ago, whenever that was, when Keegan was here and his knee got healed, okay, I had a word of knowledge. I'll be honest with you, it's way scarier to give a word of knowledge in front of people I know. It just is. So I felt this little twinge of pain and I thought, okay, Lord. Fact is, I just prayed asking God for one a few minutes before, saying, Lord, do you have word of knowledge for someone to get healed today? And that little thing, and I thought, do I do this? Do I not? And I wrestled with it. And then I went for it. And the reason I felt okay with doing it is because I feel safe here. And I feel that even if I, at some point, fall flat on my face and totally miss it, you won't hate me or throw me out the door or throw tomatoes at me or whatever. It's a safe place. I feel that. And I feel that that's important. And I feel that we need to encourage one another to step out because this is a safe place. And guess what happened? Keegan's knee got healed. Now, if I hadn't felt the honor that you give me, the safety that I feel that's in this place, I would have never done that. Ever. And so honor creates a safe place for the gifts to flow. And the danger we have is if we don't go after the gifts is that we look to one person. A people kind. Sorry, it's a bad joke, but we look to that man or that woman who is strongly gifted, and we say, they've got all the answers, so I'll look to them. They're going to do it all. They're going to be the preacher, teacher, evangelist, whatever, and they're going to heal the sick, raise the dead, and they're going to reach out to people and blah, 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 and we look on TV or wherever it might be that we find this person that we say, they're my leader, and I'll do what they say. And the problem is that that's not what God intends. He wants us to be connected to him personally. And for us to use the gifts so that we can multiply what God has given us. When I look to one person, if you just look to me or my dad, you will never grow and you will never flourish and be as fruitful as you would be as if you hear God on your own. And we've talked about this lots of times, how the Israelites said to Moses in the Old Testament, Moses, you go up the mountain, you find out what God wants us to do, come tell us, we'll do it. Because it's easier for someone else to go than for us to put in the time to have a relationship with God. Ouch, but it's true. It takes effort to have a relationship with God. It's a lot easier to try and, you know why people fall into religion? Because it's easier. Well, I just try and obey some rules. That's a whole lot easier than relationship. I mean, those of you who are married know that it goes a lot more than, well, I bought her a ring and I said I love you once and, you know, I take out the garbage sometimes. Life is good. No, it's more than that, isn't it? It takes work. It takes a lot of work. And it's not bad. It's good because the love that grows from two people connecting, becoming one is amazing. It's incredible. It's powerful. When we actually love each other and build each other and encourage each other. But when one person in that marriage stops trying, what happens? We see it all the time. It's over. And so that's why honor fits so well with who we are. We have to go after honor in our lives. And we have to go after the gifts that God has given us. Mark 16 says, these signs will follow those who believe. So I'll ask you this question I heard in a sermon recently, and it hit me hard. This is not condemning, so don't take it that way. But I want you to ask yourself this question. Is there enough evidence in your life to convict you in the courts of heaven of being a follower of Jesus? I hope so too. But Jesus said, if you follow me, these signs will follow you. So we should expect that. Not just talk about it like it's a nice story in the Bible. I mean, I'll be honest with you, if this stuff in here doesn't work in my everyday life, then why am I, what am I doing? I think there's a whole lot more available to us than we really trust for and believe for and go after sometimes. I don't want you to know that in a atmosphere of honor, so much more becomes available. So much more becomes possible. And we talk about how iron sharpens iron. You know what? When there's honor, there's freedom. And in that freedom is the absolute perfect opportunity for mess. Because people will start to feel really free. And then I might not like how Sherry acts when she feels really free. It might bug me the way that she's free to whatever, right? But iron sharpens iron. Do you know that it takes a lot of grinding to sharpen? I have one of those old Lansky knife sharpening sets, and you literally can sit there for an hour just grinding back and forth, till you get that really sharp edge on a blade. It's more than just, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. We're best friends. So what God has put in me and what God has put in you is meant to be multiplied by us working together. And if there isn't some friction sometimes, we won't be sharpened, will we? We'll just bump into each other and you go that way and I'll go this way. And if that's what church is about, we're going to fail. So we have to be able to honor each other and live with each other's differences and work together and know that God put something in you that he didn't put in me, and he put something in me that he didn't put in you, and together we can multiply that. I hope this is making sense. I said 45 minutes, right? The point is this. We need to understand and recognize and call out the differences in each other. And not in a bad way, but in a good way. We need the differences that we have. It's our strength. Every single one of us carries something that the other doesn't. And every single one of us has the ability to reach friends and neighbors and people in this community that I can't, that you can't, that the next person can't. So we can't look across the row and say, well, I'm just going to rely on the Sunday school teacher to do that. I'm going to rely on the pastor to do that. No, when God puts something on your heart or he puts something in front of you, he says, what do you have in your hand? Now reach your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Maybe he gave you a dream. Maybe he gave you a prophetic word. Maybe he, whatever it might be, he gives you an idea. We need people like Doris, okay, who want to serve and help people. I mean, she loves to cook. She uses that gift, and she creates an atmosphere for fellowship. Not everybody loves to cook, and I'm one of them. All right, I love to eat. I don't like to cook. We have people like Lara Lynn, okay? Very strong prophetic gift. If we just had the prophetic, though, we would not be as strong as having people who want to reach out, people who want to get out in the community, people who, do you hear what I'm saying? So we need it. We need the differences. We need, and guess what? It's not just the front row. It's all of us that have things in us that God wants to use. And I believe that God wants us to mine out that gold. That's what honoring people is. It's saying, I see that in you. You know, I saw in Dawn this morning, you guys weren't here for practice. Should have been here. We had a good time. But during the worship practice, I just heard Dawn praying and singing, and I see in Dawn a growth that God is putting a song in her, that God is putting. I've always said this about you. There's something in you about a breaker anointing, that God has given you that. There's an authority. When you connect into that place, you're like, there's a fight that comes out, and God has put like a warrior cry in her, like a lion. And when she starts to connect with God, there's something happens, because she starts to declare and things start to move. Well, guess what? I know that there's things like that in all of you. But we need to call it out of each other and encourage each other. And the more I do that, the more that Dawn might feel free to, hey, you know what? That is a gift to me. I'm supposed to use it. So here's my last thing, and then we'll quit. It's a gospel of love. It's a gospel of power. And we need to live it. And we'll only ever live it if we trust each other, if we have that place of honor as a church, as a family, if we feel like when people walk in the door that they belong. And when in our homes, in our workplaces, when people are around us, when they feel that they're honored, we'll multiply the goodness that's in our life. We'll multiply whatever it is that's there. Does that make sense? And we will call, not only that, but we actually call out what people might be hiding and holding back. We actually call it out in them. When we're actually bold enough to say, I see this in you. It's a form of saying, I recognize what God is doing, what he's put in you. I see that, you know, in Mark. Mark's a really good dad. And he has this heart of compassion that he cares for. And I think he sees a lot of things that people don't realize. He sees a lot of little details. And there's something powerful there in Mark's heart. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that we need to go and say, hey, I see this in you. I encourage you to step out. Use the gift. God put us here for such a time as this in Maple Creek to reach people. And there are people that are so desperately wanting to know what it means to love God, what his love is like, what his goodness is like. And we know. You carry his peace. Someone across the street, not very far from here, not very far from your house, not very far from your living room or whatever, is desperate for peace. And you carry that. You carry hope. You carry joy. And you got a connection. God is calling. So I'll finally get to my last point here. Safety. We need a place of safety. Honor creates safety. Just like I said before, I feel safe here with you to go after things sometimes that might be a little bit risky. And that's what honor does. Honor creates and opens the door for you to take risk, to actually step out in faith, to use your faith. Does that make sense? So honor creates safety. Honor creates a place of being like, I'm okay to go after this, even though I'm not 100% sure. I'm just going to go after it because I feel like God is pulling me in that direction. Does that make sense? And it's not that we say, hey, just do whatever. But there's that openness, that let's go after what God has. He has more. Do you believe he has more? Do you believe he has more? We were designed to live in peace. And you know, it says in Isaiah, the mountains and the hills will be removed, but my kindness shall never leave you, nor shall my covenant of peace with you ever be removed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love towards you and his kindness towards you never moves and never changes. And I think that a lot of times in church or elsewhere, we feel like God is a big, mean God sometimes. We say he's good, but we have this feeling like if I ever screw up, he's standing there with a stick and he's going to give me a beating. And sometimes we operate almost like God's on the edge of rage all the time, and it's not true. His kindness and his love towards you will never change. So don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to go after him. We were designed to live in that peace. That's why God created us in the Garden of Eden. It's in that place of complete peace that Adam and Eve, they had no needs. They had everything they needed. They had complete freedom and complete peace, complete joy. They had connection with God. They had all that they needed. It was in that place that creativity flowed. I mean, Adam named all the animals in peace. So when we don't have peace in our heart, we don't have peace in our mind, we don't have peace in our home, creativity doesn't flow. Intimacy doesn't happen. Honor will not happen. We need that. So honor needs to be a core of who we are. It needs to be a foundation of what we do. And I believe that, I mean, it's a simple thing, but if we put it first in our life, it'll change our church. It'll change your family. It'll change your workplace. So let's pray.